Okay, everybody, so today's daf is daf Nun Beis. We're holding roughly 10 lines from the top of the Omid, where the beginning of the line is Dovuk. Now, what is this all about? As you recall, back in our Mishnah, we had that among the 18 trefois was Nefula. And Nefula means that the animal fell down, or, as we're learning now in the Gemara, the bird fell down. And the question was whether or not there might be Risuke Eivorim. Suke Eivorim means that certain key vital organs in the animal, or in this case the bird, as a result of the fall, as a result of the collapse or concussion, it could have caused damage to the bird or to the animal, and therefore it's a shaila of a treifa. Now I say it's a shaila, it's a treifa, because this treifa is very, very different than all the other treifas. Because all the other treifas, bederach klal, didn't have a remedy. For instance, if you open up after the shechita, you open up the animal, you find that the veshet has a hole in it, that means it's a treifa. You're done. What's the din, however, the gabi, the nefula? As we learned yesterday, if you had, for instance, a behemoth that collapsed and or a bird that collapsed, what you have to do is you have to wait 24 hours. And if you wait 24 hours and the animal or the bird is still alive and kicking, even if it's not kicking, if it's alive, then you're okay. The only issue is to go and shecht it immediately after the collapse. You figure, oh, let me quickly shecht it before I lose this animal. This animal may die. That's no good. What you have to do is you either have to wait 24 hours and, or there's another eitzah. If a person doesn't want to wait 24 hours, he can say to the behemoth or to the bird, get up, stand up. And if the behemoth stands up, especially if the behemoth walks, then you know that the animal has no risuki evorim problems, and you can shecht it, and you don't have to be concerned. So that was a special din by behemoth. And the end of yesterday's daf into the top of today's daf was discussing the same issue, the gabi birds, that they also have the same type of problem. So we're starting off with Davuk. Davuk is referring to what they call what they refer to as a glue board. Shkoyach Reb Shloime, nice to see you in person. Shulatov umvorach. We're on Nun Beis Amud Aleph. We're 10 lines from the top of the Amud. The first word on the line is Davuk. Davuk is what they call a glue board. What's the purpose of a glue board? It's to go and capture birds. For those of you that are bird lovers and are upset, so then with Shelley, he would say it's a foul act. But Lamaisa, you go and capture birds by having this glue board. You don't see the glue. It's transparent, total transparency. The bird goes and sits on it, figuring it has a chance now to rest a little bit, only to find out that when it wants to fly away, it is stuck.
So we have these. We have them for mice now, right?
That is correct. But mice, what you're saying is 100% true. But mice, we don't have the same issue because, as you know, mice are not kosher. So they are what we would call treif. But not treif because it's one of the 18 treifis in our Mishnah. Just it's a non-kosher species of reptile or animal that the Kodesh Baruch Hu created. However, here we're talking about a kosher bird. You're talking about a duck, a goose, a chicken, or any one of the kosher birds that decides to sit or to lie down for a moment on this glue board, only to find out that it cannot move now. So, we have a problem. What's the problem? The problem is that this bird is going to want to fly away. And maybe it'll even be successful in flying some distance. But after that, the weight of the glue board will weigh it down, and boom, it's going to fall to the ground. When it falls to the ground, do I have to worry about risuke eivorim? That maybe there's a problem with one of the internal organs, maybe with the spine, maybe with the rib cage, etc. So Agamora says, Dovek, this glue board, Ravashi says, it's okay. Amemer Osir, and Amemer says, it's not okay. So now the Gemara defines the parameters of the machlokes. And the Gemara starts off, Bechad Gapa, if only one of the two wings of the bird got attached to the glue board, so it means that the other wing, so to speak, is free. Everybody would agree that it's mutter. Why? Because we're assuming that the bird will be able to fly at least a little bit just based on that one wing. And so therefore, even if eventually the glue board will weigh it down and the bird won't be able to fly, but it's not going to have a total collapse. And then we have to be nervous about Risuke Varim. We assume the fact that one of the wings works and is free, that will restrain or constrain any potential damage to the bird, because the bird is not total collapse. It was able to go and fall slowly, so to speak. So therefore, Kuli Alma Moide, no problem. Dishari. Keep looking at Trey Gapi. Oi, if both wings got attached to the glue board, this bird is no way that it's going to be able to fly away. I mean, maybe it'll fly for a couple of inches, maybe for a couple of feet. But the point is, eventually, this bird will say, I just can't do it anymore. Just too much weight. And the whole glue board and the bird are going to fall to the ground. And we have to worry about a nefula, about Risuke Var. Uman Dishar, the one that says, Muta Omalach, Efshu Denekim Aikvi Degapi. Maybe it will still be able to strengthen itself with the ends of the feathers, which are at the ends of the wings. Rashi says that ikvi gapi is referring to, if you look at Rashi, which is parallel to our Gemara, one line lower, ikvi gapa b'miktsas hu noisei es atzmoi b'ikvi hagapayim. What exactly are ikvi kapayim? Hu roish hakonov, mokim shechoitchen hakonov mina avos. Meaning, besides, we of course, we don't think about birds all the time, but if you think about a bird of course has wings, and the wings have feathers attached to them. And the feathers attach further than the wing. So what the Gemara is telling us is that even if part of the bird and part of the wings are on the still attached to the glue board, but at least those feathers may be able to help out. Or the other way around, if the feathers are attached to the glue board, but the wings underneath them, which are not, they will be able to have some mobility, some vitality, some strength. So therefore, it's not a total loss, and you don't have to worry about that when the bird flies off, and then it's immediately going to collapse and immediately have a nefula. It'll be able to strengthen itself to kind of break the fall to a certain extent. So therefore, he holds, even if both wings are attached, sitzayin gut, and you don't have to worry about the full and risa kivara. That's according to the first version. Ve'ikriyamid is the second version. If both of the wings are attached to the glue board and they cannot move, this bird is a goner. It has a din of a treifa, and you cannot eat it. Keep pligi what you do. Well, the eitze is, where's the machloik is b'chad gapa, if it's only one wing. Man dishari amulach efshir apara b'chad gapa. You know, it's not going to be perfect. It's going to be only using half of its strength. Only one wing, but one wing is better than nothing. And therefore, you don't have to worry about this major collapse of the bird. Half of the bird is still flying. Oh man, the one that says, you really cannot go and work based on one wing. You can try to wing it, but lamasa, it's not going to work after all, because you only have the benefit of one of the two wings. If in fact the glue board has both wings attached, then the assumption is this bird is not going to be able to fly very far, and it's going to collapse on its own weight and the weight of the glue board, and therefore there will be a nefula metarisa kevarim, and therefore you won't be able to go and immediately shecht it. Now, just like we said earlier, it doesn't mean that it's automatically usher totally, you know, just give it to the dogs or something. We still have that check, meaning go and separate the bird from the glue board and see whether it can stand, whether it can walk, whether it can fly. And if it can, then you're okay. On the other hand, if you see that it cannot, then you have to see how long this bird can last. If it lasts at least 24 hours, is ochkit. But if it cannot last 24 hours and it cannot fly away, it can't stand, then unfortunately it's a treifa. But that's by two wings. If it's only one, shari, because we assume that the bird will be able to do have some mobility and some life, and therefore don't automatically write it off as a treifa. I see Rabbi has a question.
I don't understand the halal. According to both versions, how did the bird hurt herself? To the CK body, she stuck, but she didn't fall. She did, there was no impact here. What will happen that she, when she tries to, when she tries to free herself, is a different story. If she leaves the platform that she's
attached to
and falls, then we worry about it. But lachatchila, I don't understand where was the disability.
If the, if in fact the bird just stayed in place and didn't fly away, didn't move, you're right, there wouldn't be a problem. We're talking about that afterwards it did. Let's go back to the Rashi Dovuk. Rashi, that was about 10 lines into the narrow lines. Right, Mr. Friedland, do you have that? 10 lines into the narrow lines of Rashi, about 14, 15 lines to the top of the Amud. Do you have that Dovuk?
Yeah.
Dovuk, Rashi says, yeah, take your time.
Yes.
Dova gluda. Gluda means like it's glued to.
Gluda, yeah.
Glued, it's like glued to the board.
Glue. Yeah.
Exactly. V'tochen oisei b'daf cotton, and the owners of the board who want to capture birds, they smear it on a small board. V'oif shoichen olam, the oif doesn't know, and he decides to go and rest there on that board. Umidbak boy, and he gets stuck. Upoireach in a madaf, and he says, oy, 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 I gotta get out of here. They're going to capture me.
So there was a fall.
It afterwards it starts flying. It flies from.
There was a fall.
Exactly right. Exactly right. If the bird never flew away, stayed there, you're right. It wouldn't be a problem. The problem is that the bird says, "I want to get out of here because I know what they want to do with me. They want to go and kill me." So the bird runs away with the daf. It doesn't last very long. After a few feet, after a few yards, boom. Falls to the ground. Oh yeah, got a big nefila now and potential risukevar. Okay? Zoktumorvaita. Back in our Mishnah we had Nishtabru Roiv Tzaloiseha. If most of the tzalois are the ribs in the rib cage of the animal or the bird, but we're talking mostly about animals. If roiv of those tzalois break, then the animal is a treifa. Now before we continue on, there are numerous pictures that we've had since the beginning of Elu Treifis in the Art Scroll or in the other Svarim that have pictures, and they all show that an animal has 13 tzalois. Now we say 13, it's 13 on one side, 13 on the other side, because they're all connected to vertebrae which run down the back of the spinal cord. So really you have 26 altogether, 13 on one side, 13 on the other side. However, our Gemara assumes that there are only 11 on one side and 11 on the other side, for a total of 22. Not that the Gemara is ignoring reality, but rather, as we'll see shortly, Rabbi Yochanan is going to say it very clearly, that the only time we're concerned about the tzlois, if they're tzlois sheyesh behen moyach. Moyach is what we call today marrow. Why is that the deciding factor? Because those are major tzalois, and if they break, then the whole animal could be broken and could be treif. However, if they're the only, we're talking about tzalois that don't have in them marrow, which are considered to be only kind of a secondary importance, in other words, the animal can live and survive even with a couple of broken, not broken bones, but broken ribs, as long as those ribs are shvacha ribs, they don't have any marrow in them, so those don't count. Which ones those are is a dispute among the Mefarshim. Either it means the first and the 13th, those are the ones that don't have the moyach, or it's number 1 and number 2. So you only have to worry from 3 through 13. Whichever way you count it, we're only going on the basis of 11 on one side, 11 on the other side. I know some of you think, well, that's a machlokes and metzias. Let's just go and open it up and see whether it has marrow or not. So whenever you have these types of questions of machlokes and metzias, it means, yes, there is some marrow in all of them. The question is, if it's such of minimal quantity and quality, whether it really makes a difference, yes or no. So it could be then that some of the Mufarshim feel that the amount of marrow in the first and in the 13th, those are zeh shvach, and therefore we don't really care so much about those ribs. On the other hand, it could be that maybe it's the first and the second. The second also has a minor or minimal amount of marrow. But whatever, we don't have to decide that machlokes. All we have to know is that for the Gemara's purposes, we will assume that there are 22 altogether, 11 on one side, 11 on the other side. And since the Mishnah said, Roiv Tzolois, Roiv of 22, by definition, means 12. Because exactly half would be 11, obviously. So 12 would be the Roiv. So that's what the Braisa tells us. Tanur Rabbanan, Eluhain Roiv Tzolois. How do you cheshbon out your 12? Sheish mikan, v'sheish mikan. You could have 6 on one side, 6 on the other side. And Rashi points out that the 6 and the 6 do not have to be parallel to one another. Rashi says you can even have 6 where on one side they're starting all the way, let's say, from the neck area going down. And on the other side you have 6 coming up from the alia, meaning from the tail side going up. But ultimately, one is going to overlap in the middle, right? Since you're talking about 12 altogether, and according to the Gemara's Cheshbon, you only have 11 tzlois on each side, which are halachically important. So by definition, you're going to start 6, 1 through 6, and the other side you're going to go 6 through 11, so then number 6 is going to be the one in the middle that's going to be overlapped, both of them together. But it doesn't have to be dafka that case. Oy achas esri mikan, the achas mikan. You can even have all 11 stacked up one after the other, meaning starting from the neck area and going down. You have, in other words, from the beginning, the top of the rib cage, you can have 11 on one side. And on the other side, you only have one, any one of them, number 2, 3, 5, 10, 11, whatever it is. Though it adds up to 12, that would fulfill the Mishnah's requirement of Roiv Tzal Oiseh, 12 out of the 22. Ze'iri says, but one, you have to add one more wrinkle. Ze'iri Mechatzion, or Mechatzion Klapi Shedra. What does that mean? When we're talking about that they're broken, the rib starts from the vertebrae on the spinal column on top and works its way down to the right and to the left. You have two tzlois, two ribs, extending from every one of the chulios, from every one of the vertebrae. So at what point do you have the broken rib? So says our Gemara, it's only a psul tarfis if it's on the upper half of each rib. Each rib extends from the spine down towards the belly of the animal. So go halfway from the spine to the belly. If it's from that first half, the upper half, from the spine till halfway down, that's where it's broken, then the ebheim is trefa. If, however, it's only broken past halfway down, in other words, closer to the belly of the animal, as opposed to the spine of the animal, that's already nishgeferlich. Maybe the animal might be in pain, it might have difficulty in walking. True. Aval ha'maase, it's not a simen tarfus. Azei zok tziri. This is what we spoke about a moment ago, that this doesn't apply to all 13 tzlois on each side. It only applies to those ribs that have a significant amount of marrow in them. Oh, if those break, that could be a tarfus by the animal. That could cause the animal to die, and therefore it's a trefa. Okay, now we start a new shtickle. Omar Ula, Ben Zakai Omar. Who is this Ben Zakkai? Normally, the only Ben Zakkai we have is Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai, but our Gemara just says Ben Zakkai. So not only don't I know, but you have a rare Rashi that Rashi says, I also don't know. See, if you see Rashi about 8 lines before the wide lines, Bar Zakkai says, Rashi, lo yidana manu. I don't know who this Ben Zakkai is. Chvaishish. We don't know. Okay, so what did he say? Ben Zakkai Omar. Back to the Gemara. Nekru beroiv tzad echad. Nishtabru beroiv shnei tzedotim. Ben Zakkai is adding now another halacha that we didn't discuss until now. Until now we were talking about shvira, nishtabroiv tzaloi seha. That what's the shiur? It's got to be 12 or more that are broken. 12 from both sides, because both sides together have 22. 12 out of those 22, it's a treifa. And it's got to be Mechetzin Ulamala, like we had from Zairi. Ben Zakeh is now introducing, instead of talking about broken, what about if it's Ne'ekar? Ne'ekar means that the rib has come out of its rib cage, which means it is... It's dislocated. Very good, Bill. Thank you. It's dislocated from its socket, which is inside the vertebrae. That's much worse, says Ben Zakeh, because if you have a broken rib, no. Lahavdil, unfortunately, even people have broken ribs from time to time, and it's painful. And you try, the doctors will tell you there's really no cure for it, because it's a broken rib. But you'll just leave it there, maybe you'll add to put a bandage on, or whatever. Don't take my medical knowledge as authoritative. If you have a broken rib, speak to your doctor. But that's by a person. What happens if, instead of just being broken, its nekar, it's come out of its socket altogether, uyoyoy, that's much, much worse, this dislocation. And therefore Ben Zakeh says, nekru beroiv tzad echad. How much is that? Since each side is 11, so therefore roiv here is 6. If you have 6 tzalois, which are nekru, this animal is a treifer. Nishtabru, however, there's a shvira, then I agree with what we had in the Braisa, Peroiv Shnei Tzedodim, which means out of the 22, you have to have 12, like we said until now. So, on the second part, Nishtabru, really, there's no chidush, and Ben Zakeh, who presumably is an Amoira, even though we don't know exactly who he is, but if he's an Amoira, he's not going to argue with the Braisa. So he agrees, Beroiv Shnei Tzedodim, which means 12. The only chiddush, he says, by Nekar, it's 6. But Rabbi Yochanan says, it doesn't make a difference. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Bein Nekru, Bein Nishtabru, Beroiv Shnei Tzedodim, it's a shear of 12 out of the 22 tzlois altogether. We're going to get back to this Ben Zakeh and Rabbi Yochanan, but now the Gemara goes off a little bit on a tangent. Omar Rav, Nekra tzela v'chulya ima treifa. So poshib shat, what Rav is saying is, like the first part of Ben Zakeh, that it was ne'ekar, not just nishtaber, but ne'ekar. But here Rav is adding another dimension to it. Not only was it tzela ne'ekar, but the chulya, that vertebrae that was on the spinal column, that was also ne'ekar. Oh, yoy, yoy, now I got a big problem. So even though it's only one tzela, it's not 6, it's not 12, it's only one tzela. But it's with chuli ima, then it's treifa. It's Amri le Rav Kahana v'Rav Asi le Rav. So Rav Kahana and Rav Asi both asked Rav, what about nekra tzela mikan v'tzela mikan v'chulia kayemes mahu? What happens if the chulia is intact? The vertebrae is fine. It's only one tzela on one side, one tzela on the other side. What's the din now? Will that make it into a treifa? Mahu. Omaluhu. So Rav got a little bit heated and excited, and he said, Gistra kamrisu. That's a gistra. What means a gistra? Gistra means that it's as if you shechted the animal perpendicular, not on the simanim, on the neck, but you cut it down the middle. Middle meaning in the either lengthwise or widthwise. Gistra means this is a dead animal. When you're talking about a telemikan, two, and you're, even though the chulia is kayamis, the parallel tzeloi is together, this is, not only is it a treifa, says Rashi, but it's even a nevela, because it's as if you took a large chalif, a large or butcher cleaver, and you went and cut the animal in half. Because you're these two ribs parallel to each other, they're both ne'ekar. Oy, 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 this animal is in big, big hot water. So it's not only a treifa, it's even a nevela. Zokti Yomara.
Normally, if you have one of the 18 treifas,
yeah,
it doesn't become a
nevela. 100% right. And that's why I'm saying that Rav got heated. It's not that I saw that he got heated, but the Gemara is going to tell us that in another 10 lines towards the bottom of the Yomid. You'll see the Gemara is going to repeat this. And Rav says, you're asking about a nekar mikan, the nekar mikan, the chulia kiemes. That's a gistro kamri. So that's like a dead duck. It's a dead animal. It's even an avalus, not just a treif. I don't even understand what you're asking.
Would this be similar to Avraham Avinu, the separation of the parts, the just cutting down the middle?
The answer is yes. Bris Ben Absarim is what you're referring to. There, however, we were talking about that it was cut lengthwise. In other words, from the jaw down to the tail. Here, normally the term gistra is used the other way, that you're cutting it, perpendicular to the animal. But it doesn't have to be. Either definition, gistra means it's cut down the middle, either length or width. So that's a very good tushtel, a very good parallel that you brought. Shkoyach, Shlomo. Shlomo, we need you here. Don't rush back to Eretz Yisrael. Take us. If you have to go back, take us all with you, Amir Tashem. Anyway, so the Gemara says, Omalohu Gistru Kamris. You tell me it's a Gistru, the Chavada, that it's not only a treif, it's even a nevela. Frey Timura, 1 second. V'Rav Namri Gistru Ka'omar. Isn't Rav also giving an example of a Gistra? What he means giving an example of a Gistra? Let's go back to what Rav said. Nekra Tzela, a Tzela came out of the socket. V'chulia Iman, the Chulia came out as well. Rabbi Yisai, what about the other Tzela on the other side? If the Chulia is missing, then the other Tzela is also Nekra by definition. It can't just be standing in mid-air inside the cavity of the animal. It's got to be connected to something. Otherwise, it's going to plot there in the animal. And even before it plots, that's a case of nekar on both sides. So, Ibazoi, why did Rav say, nekra tzela b'chuli ima tzatreifa? According to Rav's definition, it should even be an avela. Because if nekra tzela on one side, by definition, it's going to be nekra tzela on the other side. So that's exactly Rav Kahana Rav Asi's case. And in fact, Rav's case is much worse, because Rav said Nekra Tzela V'chulia Ima, that the Chulia was also Ne'ekar. And he only says Treifa. Or Rav Kahana Rav Asi, you're talking about Nekra Tzela Mikan, V'tzela Mikan, V'chulia Kayem, is the Chulia still there intact on the spinal cord, spinal column. That being the case, Madach Rav said, that if it's only the tzlois which are missing on the two sides. But the chulia is kayamis, that's already a gistra, a nevela, is al achas kama vekama in Rav's case, where not only was nekar the tzela, but even the chulia was nekar. And the chavada is on a nevela. Why do you say it's only a treifa? Well, Rav Nami, Rav's case is a gistra kama. Even the gemar ki kama Rav, tzela beloy chulia. Rav was only talking about that one tzela came off, nekar, but the chulia remained intact. That's why Rav says, well, it's only one tzela. The chulia is intact. That's why it's only a treifa and not a nevela. Frey Timar, are you listening to what you're saying? Look at the words of Rav. Omer Rav nekra tzela v'chulia ima. So it says clearly that the chulia was also ne'ekar. So if the tzela was nekar and the chulia was nekar, by definition, the other tzel on the other side was also ne'ekar. That being the case, it's not just a treifa. Rav says it's a gistra, it's an avela. Let me explain what Rav meant when he said tzela v'chulia ima. He means tzela v'chatsi chulia, meaning the way the Kodesh Baruch Hu created the vertebrae, they have sockets on both sides, and the top of each rib is like a ball, and that ball fits nicely in the socket. And when one tzela fell out, it took along its half, its socket, with it. However, the other half of the vertebrae remained in place, with the tzela on the other side in place. So I would think, probably the animal can continue to survive. Says the Mishnah, it could survive. But it's a treifa, according to, not the Mishnah didn't say that, but Rav said, once nekra tzela v'chulia ima, the chulia is not the entire chulia. It's only a halba chulia. That halba chulia, the half a chulia, which this tzela was originally located in. The tzela got dislocated, and half the chulia came off. Says Rav, it's not an avela, it's a treifa. Zokti Mor, if that's the case, mechlal, Rav Kahana Rav Asi, tzela beloy chulia amri. They must be talking about that at the tzela, they're talking about, of course, two tzelois, tzela mikan, tzela mikan. It must mean beloy chulia that the chulia is totally intact. which is in fact what they said. Tzalamikam v'tzalamikam v'chulia kariyamis. So no part of the chulia fell off. The chulia is intact. It's only the two tzlois that came on. That's what they're referring to. V'yomalahu, and what did Rav say about that? Gister kamriso, that's not only a treifa, that's even a nevela. Freitimar, I don't understand that. And now we go back to our Ben Zakkai of before. V'omar ula. Ben Zakkai omar nekru b'roiv tzad echod. Nishtab b'roiv shnei tzedodim. If you're talking about ne'ekar, it's got to be roiv tzad echod. Roiv tzad echod, we said before, means six are out of place, or ne'ekar, are, what did Bill say, dislocated. So it's got to be six. And you're saying, according to Rav, that only two were dislocated. That was the case of Rav Kahana of Rav Asi. And Rav says, that's chanevela. Well, according to Ben Zakkai, not only is it not a nevela, it's not even a treifa, because only six would make it a treifa. You cannot compare, because Ben Zakkai's case, when he's talking about the six, means that Lemushel, all six were on one side. Or even if there were three on one side and three on the other side, but they were not parallel tzlois extending and emanating from the same vertebrae. These three on the right side were towards the top, the other three were on the bottom, and so therefore, never the twain shall meet. That's when he said, it happens to be a treifa. But zeh keneged zeh, one against the other, in other words, parallel emanating from the same vertebrae, even Ben Zakkai could hold that that is treifa. Frank Timora, no, one second. Let's go to Rabbi Yochanan. Beroiv shnei tzedodim, uberoiv shnei tzedodim, yefshad loy kaim echad minayu zeh keneged zeh. Remember, Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with Ben Zakkai. And he says, both by ne'ekar and by nishtabra, the shear is 12. 12, by definition, as we pointed out earlier, there's got to be an overlap on both sides. Because by definition, let's assume you have six starting out from the top of the, on the right-hand side, six starting on the bottom from the left-hand side, they're going to go and overlap or intersect at number six in the middle. Because by definition, you have only 11 in our cheshbon here. So you can have six from the top, and then if you have six coming from the other side from the bottom up, so then in the middle they're going to meet. Nevertheless, says Rabbi Yochanan, in that case it's only a treifa. He doesn't say that it's an avela. But according to Rav, it's much worse than treifa. It's an avela. For those of you that are wondering, why are we making a ganzer tzimis between the avela and treifa? Remember, and the avela has a din that it's metame. Well, the treifa is not metame. Everything more hasam buchna beloy asisa, hacha buchna vaasisa. Now the Gemara is using this as a mushel. A buchna vaasisa means a pestle in a mortar. We are not that familiar with pestles and mortars nowadays because everything done today is done by machine, etc. But you still see in some of the drugstores that they still have pictures or statues of what a pestle and mortar is. A mortar is the kli hamakabel, that's the vessel, the kli underneath, and the mortar and the pestle is what you go and use for, in Yiddish they say, shtoising, which means to crush. In the good old days when the pharmacies would go and dispense medications, they didn't have pills that were pre-manufactured somewhere, but rather they used to go and take the original ingredients, the herbs, and then they would crush them into fine powders, etc., the mortar in the pestle in the mortar, and then they would spill it out in the container, and you would take it, and that would be the medication that you're taking. So anyway, that's the buchna and the sisa. Why are we referring to that over here? Because the buchna has at the end, it's at the top of it, it looks like a round ball, and the asisa, the mortar fits, the pestle fits nicely into the mortar, because the mortar's size is just a little bit larger so that you can go and fit the pestle into it because of the fact that it's a ball shaped at the end, and the two go together as a nice set, so to speak. So the Gemara now is using that as a mashal, And it's saying the same thing applies over here to the end of the rib. Each rib has a ball at the top of it, and that folds, and that fits very nicely into the vertebrae. Okay, so what's the teretz now? What was the kasha? The kasha is Rabbi Yochanan said that if you had the parallel ribs, if only when you have 12 does it become a trefa, and you have one tzela parallel to the other tzela, but it doesn't become an avela. Well, Rav said, Gistrahi, oh, it's an avela. So Timura, because when Rav is talking about it's buchna v'asisa, that not only the tzela came out, but also the asisa, half of the chulia came out together with it. So the ball top of each of the slois of that tzela and the socket in which it fit in the vertebrae, those both of those came off. Ooh, both of those came off, says Rav, in such a case, then it's a trefa. Nekra tzela v'chulia ima trefa. In the case of Rav Kahana v'Rav Asi, they were talking about nekra tzela mikan v'tzela mikan, and even though the chulia kayemis, that means, yes, the middle part of the vertebrae is still around the spinal cord, but each side of it, the socket part of the vertebrae, fell off together with the tzela. So there's no way that you're going to be able to repair this tzlois. The best veterinarians won't be able to do anything unless, of course, they do massive surgery. So therefore, says the Gemara, that's why Rav said, since it's buchna v'asisa together, this behem is a goner and it's a nevela. When was Rabbi Yochanan talking about, when he said it's only a treifa and you have to have 12 the roiv, that's talking about buchna b'loy asisa. The tzlois came out, however, they didn't take the chatzi chulia together with it. They left the chulia intact. Ooh, in such a case, it's a trefa, but it is not a nevela. Frank Timara, ihochi hainu derav. Now that you're telling me all of this, I don't understand what the shaila was that Rav Kahana and Rav Asi were asking. Because Rav already said that nekra tzela, and we said before, even though he says, v'chulia ima, he doesn't mean the full chulia. He means tzela v'chatzi chulia. That's a treif. What is Rav Kahana Rav Asi's case? Nekra tzela mikan v'tzela mikan. Plus, although it says chulia kayemes, but not the asisa portion, not the socket portion. That's all to come off. So what's happening really is that Rav Kahana Rav Asi are talking about the same case as Rav, just that Rav is only talking about one tzela was ne'ekar together with its asisa, together with its chatzi chulia, and the other, the tzela, was still attached from the other side because chatzi chulia was remaining. So Rav Kahana and Rav Asi are now asking, what about if it's not one tzela, but it's two tzelois, and those two tzelois also brought along and took with them their socket on both sides. Yeah, the middle vertebrae is still sitting there on the spinal column. However, the two sockets from both sides, what the Gemara calls asises, those have all come off. So, Frank Timura, Madach Rav said that if you only have one tzela and a chatzi chulia, it's treif, then of course, if it's nekar two tzelois with their chatzi chulias, of course it's going to be treif. Two times one is two. Now, if one is treif, then two is certainly treif. Yeah, that's the same case as Rav, but just multiplied it by two. These two, Rav Kahana and Rav Asi, when they asked Rav the Shaila, they didn't know that Rav said, Nekra tzela v'chulia ima treifa. They didn't know. And that's why they asked their Shaila about the tzela mikan v'tzela mikan. Frey Timara, if they taka didn't hear Rav's Shaila, v'liboy menekid Rav, why didn't they ask Rav's Shaila? In other words, instead of jumping to one on one side, one on the other side, why didn't they just ask about Rav Shaila that only one tzela was ne'ekar with the chatzi chulia? Rav l'maisa paskin that it was treif. But they didn't hear Rav say that it was treif. They immediately jumped and asked about two tzelois with a chatzi chulia on each side. They should have asked Rav Shaila. I mean, wouldn't you go from one to two to three as opposed to jumping to two without asking even about one? V'loy minei kidirav. Evdimor Savri, they made a cheshbon. They didn't want to get Rav too upset or excited, and they didn't want to ask too many shaylas, so they figured, Liboy mine choda de porish lantati. Let's ask one shayla, and as a result of that one shayla, we'll get the tshuvis to two shaylas. By asking one, we'll get two answers to two questions. What does that mean? See, more explains. Diba'inan mine choda, if we only ask Rav's case, where only one tzela was nekar, not two, only one tzela was nekar. Honichi omar lon treifa, if he's going to go and tell us about one, that it's treif. Madach, one is treif, if kolshkin tartan, then two is certainly treif. Nothing to talk about. I omar lon ksheira, if he's going to tell us that one is kosher, akati tarti komi boyolan, then we won't know the answer about two. We'll be stuck. That one is kosher, but maybe two is not kosher. So therefore, that's why they asked about two. Elamai, ihochi, hashtanami, the kaboy mine tarti, hanichi omaluk sheira, is kochkein chada. So now, you just said now, the reason why we didn't ask one is because if Rav would pass me about one, that it's kosher, then I don't know if the loch is going to be about two. But Freytimara, let's go now the other way around. Ihochi, hashtanami, the kaboy mine tarti. Now that they're asking two, Hanichi Amluk Sheira, if Rav says two are kosher, then Kochkin Chada, then I know, of course, that one is kosher. The Yomalana Treifa, but if he's going to go and say that two is Treif, Akati Chodami Boilu, I won't know what the story is. One, is one kosher or not kosher? So why is it better asking about two than asking about one? Says Yimar Savri, Rav Kahana and Rav Asi knew the temperament of their Rebbe. And there they said, Im Kain, if in fact it's going to be that they're going to Hashanami Kaboy Minitati Legabi two, if they're asking about two whether that's treif or not, they are expecting Im Kain Mirsach Karasach that Rav is going to get very, very heated up. Again, according to this new version that we're saying that they're asking two. So the Gemara says, Anichav, he's going to go and tell us that two is kosher, and then one is certainly kosher. But if he tells us that two is treif, I won't know what the story is with one. Says the Gemara, no. They will know the story about one. How will they know? Because they say, we expect Rav, Im Kain, Mirsach Karasach, if one also happens to be treifa, he's going to scream at us, not necessarily scream, but he's going to raise his voice and he's going to say, Chode treifa, tired to me, boya. Why are you asking about two? Even one is treif. The chasu is a sicha treif. I don't even understand what your question is. Oh, so therefore they will know automatically the answer about one and two. Frank Gemara, v'haka amri lev le'rasach. We see early in the Gemara that Beitaka asked Rav, what's the story about nekra tzelemikan, v'tzelemikan, v'chulia kayemes? I don't see that Rav was getting all heated up. Says Yimara, you're wrong. Since he said to them, why are you asking this question? You're talking about a gistra situation. Gistra meaning that he's saying that's not only a treifa, it's an avela. You see how Rav is reacting to your question. You asked about the two, is a treifa? Treifa! Chevra, are you nuts? Not only is a treifa, it's a chana avela. Oh, so therefore, they will know clearly what the answer will be. Legabe hilchas treif. So bottom line is, that's the reason why they posed the question by two. They had not heard what Rav holds by one. But they figured if they ask two, implicitly, or perhaps even explicitly, Rav is going to respond to both the question of the two, as well as the one. And with this we have completed this discussion. We're going to have now a related discussion, but we finished this discussion of Rav and Rav Kahana Rav Asi and Bar Zakkai or Ben Zakkai together with Rabbi Yochanan, and we continue on to a related Gemara. Omer Rabba Bar Rav Shila, Omer Rav, Omer Rav Masna, Omer Shmuel. So we're saying in the name of Shmuel three treifas. You may recall we had this Gemara already on Mem Beis Amid Beis when the Gemara said we have Shev Shmaitza, seven Tarfis, which were codified by the Amiroim, and the Gemara brought these as the last three in the name of Shmuel. In other words, Rabbi Rav Shila, Rav Masna, Shmuel. And what are the three? Nekra Tzela Me'ikara, that a tzela got nekra means that it got uprooted. Uh-oh, that's what we've been talking about until now. Rashi says that Shmuel holds that one tzela, me'ikara, it's nekar. Rashi says, afilu b'loy asisa, even without its socket, just the tzela itself got uprooted, but the socket remained intact and the chulia remained intact. So Shmuel, that's already treif. Shmuel is therefore arguing with what we said in the name of Ben Zakkai, that said there's got to be at least six. And he's arguing even with Rabbi Yochanan, that says it's got to be at least 12 to make a treif. Shmuel says even one tzela me'ikara, and the asisa remains totally intact, the chuli is totally intact, it's already treif. The gulgoylish nechbasa beruba. Nechbasa means that the brain portion of the skull of the animal was crushed by roiv. What roiv means, we'll see Mechim and the Gemara in a moment on the Amid base. And number three is basar chifes roiv hakeres. Basar chifes roiv hakeres is, you'll recall we had 2 days ago a discussion about the keres, that there are two parts to the keres. When you have the keres hapnimius and you have keres chitzoina. And it says that you have basar, which is choife, covering over roiv hakeres. Why roiv hakeres? Because some of the keres is within the rib cage, within the tzlois. Most of it is extending outside. So the basar on top of that is a basar hachoife, is roiv hakeres. What happens if it itself, this basar choife roiv hakeres, had a rip in it? It's not going to become possible just with one little hole. But if it's ripped, berubai, it's treifa. We're going to talk more about that on the Amid Beis. We start off again. So you have three cases of Shmuel. One about the Nekar case, the Tzela Nekar. You have the Gogolish Nechbasa, and you have the Basar Chifis Reva Keres. So now the Gemara goes in order. Nekra Tzela Meikara Treifa, Frey Gemara Mini, I'll ask you a kasha. Kamochi Saroin B'Shedra. How much do you have to have missing from the Shedra? Now, this first case that the Gemara is bringing now is not a case of an animal. It's talking lahavil, a human being. We know that if you have a dead person, chas v'sholem, inside a room, inside a house, you have what we call tumas oihel. How much of that dead person do you need for tumas oihel? So the Mishnah in Mesechtes Oiholois says that even if you only have the shedra alone, you don't have the skull, you don't have the rest of the body, just the shedra, just the spinal column of a human being, then it is metamim ba'oyel. Now, what happens if it's, you don't even have the whole spinal column? It's missing some vertebrae. So, kamach yisorim b'shedra, how much does it have to be missing to go and pronounce that this house is not an oyel hatameh? Be'shami oyimim shtecholis. If it's missing two chuliyos, that's a major amount, 2 out of 11 or 2 out of 13, whatever. This house does not become tummy to Messiah. Of course, the shedra lying on the floor is tummy to Mesmaga Umasa, for sure. But no tumas oya. So that's Beishamai. Ubeisil Omram Chuli Achas. Already one chulia on its own, there's no tumas oya. So Beisil, as you typically find in Shas, is Mekul. And he says, even if only one small chulia is missing, there's no tumas oil. But Beishami said, no, one itself would be metami. It's only if two are missing, then there's no tumas oil. V'yom Rav Yehuda Mishmuel. Rav Yehuda Mishmuel says, until now we're talking about a person, but the same thing applies v'chein l'treifa. Treifa means what happens if you have an animal, and the animal is missing vertebrae. So Beishami says, if it's missing two vertebrae, then it becomes a treifa. If it's only missing one vertebrae, it's still kosher, not a treifa. Or b'sal amram chuli achas. If it's missing just one chulia, it's already a treifa. Now this is kind of a role reversal. In the first case, l'gabi the person, we said that Beishamai was the machmir because he said that unless two chulias are missing, there's tumas oil. If there's only one chulia missing, tumas oil. Once one chuli is missing, no more tumas oil. So Beishamai, as he's typically throughout Shas, he is the machmir, and Beisil is the mekel. But here the Gemara is talking about the treifa by the animal, and we have a role reversal where Beis Shammai is the Mekel and Beis Hillel is the Machmir. What do you mean? Because by the treif, the animal we're saying, says Beis Shammai, if just one vertebrae is missing, the animal has the status of a treif. Sorry, Beis Shammai says it's only status of treif, it's missing two chulias. If one chulia is missing, the animal is still kosher. So Beis Shammai is a Mekel. Or Beis Hillel says you're missing one vertebrae, then this animal's already a treifa. So even though they're saying the same thing in both cases, but the ramifications are different. In the case of the person, Beis Hillel is a meiko as he typically is, but there got to be a treifa, Beis Hillel now is a machmir. Okay, all of that is fascinating. I'm only pointing that out because the Gemara is going to discuss that in another five or six lines. But in the meantime, the Gemara has a kasha on Shmuel. A stira, Shmuel on Shmuel. Shmuel on the Amud Aleph said that if you have one tzela ne'ekar, then it's already treif. Here, Rav Yehuda Mishmuel says, v'chein the treifa, we paskin like Beis Hillel, and it says, chulia achas is treif. Even though the tzelois are okay, but the chulia is missing, says Shmuel, that's treif. So, seems to be a problem. On the Amud Aleph, we say that the tzela is missing its treif. Here we're saying that the chulia has to be missing. So, presumably what the Gemara means to say is that if a chulia is missing, then two tzelois are missing. And on the Omer Aleph we said, even one tzela is missing, it's already treif. Every Gemara hacha tzela b'lei chulia hasam chulia b'lei tzela. It's really not a stira. These are two comparable cases, but they're not parallels. Because hacha, on the Omer Aleph, we were talking about the tzela was missing, but not the chulia. Then one tzela, it's treif. Hosam, in that case, legabe the kamach chisorim b'shedra, in that case, hosam chulia b'lei tzela, the chulia is missing, but not the tzela. Ah, so therefore those are two separate cases. You know, don't compare, it's, you know, apples and oranges. There's a tzela b'lei chulia, here's a chulia b'lei tzela. Frey Timura, come on, 1 second, let me understand what you're saying. You can easily find that a rib is missing, it's pulled out, it's dislocated, it's broken, and the chulia is intact. But chulia b'lei tzela heichi mishkachesla. How can you have a situation where it's missing a chulia and not missing a tzela? By definition, once the chulia is nekar, it fell off of, it broke off, whatever, from the spinal column, then there's no tzelois coming out of it. So don't tell me chulia b'lei tzela. That's impossible. Anthony Marno, it's talking about b'shiloi kafli. What's meant shiloi kafli? So Rashi explains, even though we said until now that there are 13 ribs altogether coming out of the rib cage, meaning constituting the rib cage, which are emanating from the vertebrae, from the spinal column. However, if you go below that number 13, you go 14, 15, 16, 17, you'll notice that there continue to be vertebrae with small little shtikluch coming out. If there's a picture here in the art scroll, if you have an art scroll available, otherwise you may have a picture somewhere else, here on Nun Beis Amid Beis number 1, that's 52B1, you see that right-hand column, you see kind of in light ink, they have above it, you have real tzeloys, ribs extending from the spine, but then in slightly darker color, you see that things are sticking out from the vertebrae, small little pieces, but not full-fledged ribs. Ah, that is the chulia that we're talking about. Those chulios are missing. Says Shmuel, even though it doesn't affect ribs or rib cage, but it does affect the spinal column and the vertebrae. And therefore, even according to Beis Hillel, one chulia is missing, the behema is treif. Preit Gemara, Heich Mishkachos or B'Shloi Kafli. Shloi Kafli means towards the bottom of the spine. Shlomo, you have to leave.
Forgive me, I need to go. No. Zoom in a few days.
Okay, you'll resume. You'll resume on Zoom in a few days. Ful l'chaim u'l'sholem. Sal tzigizunt. Should sal l'chaim u'l'sholem. In English they say, safe travels. Have a good time. Be well.
Okay.
Freit Gemara.
I'll see you, I'll be with you on Zoom.
Yeah, call to Vatzlach Rabbah.
Hold down the fort. There's after a match.
Yeah.
I'll
wait to
you there. That's
Kotev. So getting back to our Gemara. So we've now for the Stira, Shmuel and Shmuel. Shmuel on the Amud Aleph is talking about a tzela b'loy chulia. In other words, only a tzela broke, fell off, etc. But the chulia remained intact. That's a treifa. The sefer, the Amud Beis, where Shmuel says that you're missing one chulia, is talking about the chulia is missing, but not tzlois. All the tzlois were intact. How could that be if a chulia is missing, the tzlois are intact? Because we're talking about those lower chulios that emanate from the spine, below the 11 or the 13 ribs that you have on both sides of the rib cage. Maskel Raboishia, the
I
point...
Shem again with Bishlam and Bisham, I know. They know that if it's, let's say from Bisham, even if it's one is missing, so according to Bisham, what, two
you need to be missing? You're talking about now about Gabi Trefa, right? We're finishing the discussion about the oil mess. We're going to talk about that in a minute, but in the moment we're just focusing on Trefa.
Oh, so it doesn't, the oil mess doesn't correspond necessarily to Trefa, is that what we're saying?
We're going to please put the oil mess on the side just for a moment. Remember we had a Stira Shmuel and Shmuel. On the Amud Aleph, it says that one tzela is ne'ekar, it's already treif. Here, Shmuel said on the Amud Beis, the chulia is ne'ekar, which sounds like a chulia with two tzelois, then it's treif. Is the chastira, is it one tzela, is it two tzelois? And here it says, mita chulia, there it doesn't say a chulia. It says, Yimor, these are really two separate cases, you don't mix and match them. Back in the Amud Aleph, we're talking about only the tzela is missing, the chulia is intact. It says, Shmuel, that's enough to make a treif. One tzela nekar, treif. Here in the Amud Beis, we said that it's a chulia without tzelois. All the tzelois are totally intact. It's just the chulia that's missing. That's also treif. Frank Timora, come on. How is it possible to missing a vertebrae and have all the tzelois? By definition, if a chulia is missing, the ribs fell out. So we're not talking about the chulias to which they're attached. Ribs. We're talking about chulias on the bottom of the spinal column, which have no ribs attached, only small little shtiklach coming out, like you see in the picture. So that is also a treifa chulia b'loy tzela. Now we're getting back to Beis Hillel. Freik Tigmar, Maskar Rav Oishia, V'lisnai gabi kulit beishamei v'chumra Beis Hillel. In Mesechtes Idios, you have Mishnayis that list. We know that throughout Shas, Beis Hillel is always the mekel, and beishamei is always the machmir. But there are six cases enumerated in Mesechtes Idios where it says that Beis Hillel is also a machmir from time to time. So, Frank Timur, why don't we add one more case? The case of the treifa. That here we said by Unz in the treifa, that what? If you find an animal that is missing, missing one chulia, Beis Hillel says, treif, throw it out, give it to the dogs. Beis Shammai said, no. As long as it's only one chulia, it's still kosher. It's only if it's missing two chulias. That makes a treif. Oh, so I have a case of Beishami being Mekel and Beisil being Machmer. Omalei, Rav, ki itchil in yintoma itchil. Omalei, Rav, ki itchil in yintoma itchil. Tavla Beishami lechumra. Lemaisa, technically, you're 100% right. In this case of the Tarfis, yes, Beisil is lechumra. Why didn't we go and list that in Mesechtes Idios? I'll tell you why. Because when the original Shaila came up in Bismedesh, where Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel were arguing, the original Shaila was in Oyholois, the Gabi Din of Tumas Oyl. And that Tumas Oyl, clearly it's Beis Shammai who's the Machmir, and Beis Hillel is the Mekel, because Beis Hillel says, if you're just missing one Chulia, no Tumas Oyl. So it's clearly a regular, normal case of Beis Shammai being Machmir, and Beis Hillel being Mekel. So we couldn't list that among the six. It so happens to be, Shmuel is right, that if you extend that type of approach and analysis by a treifa, it's going to work out the reverse. That Beis Hillel is going to be the machmir and the Beis Shammai is going to be the mekel. But that's not how the question was posed initially. So that's why it was not codified by Rebbe in Mesechtes Idios as case number 7, where Beis Hillel is the machmir. Because that was not the question that was posed when we're talking about the chulia, one chulia, two chulias. It was posed in the connection with Hilchois Ayholois. Their Taka Beis Hillel is a Mekel. So no purpose in adding that to the list Well, Beisil is Machmir. You're right in the case of the Tarfis, Beisil is Taka the Machmir, but this was never the Nidoin, it was not the subject of discussion in Bismedish. This is rather something that Shmuel ultimately said. Let's use that approach and use that attitude, and then you're going to find the Gabi Hilchos Treifos, it's going to be in reverse. Okay, so we've gone through the Tzela, and now we go to case number two of Shmuel, the Gugolis and Nechbasa Beruba. Gugolis means that, let's say, a giant elephant stepped on a small animal, a behemoth, daka, a lamb or a goat of some sort, and unfortunately crushed the skull. And in particular, Gugolis means the top of the head, where in human beings you would normally find the brains. Animals don't have so many brains. Anyway, so that Gugolis, if it's nechbas, if it's crushed, nothing's missing, just crushed. The halach is beruba, roif. Now the question is, how do you measure roif? And now we have the famous Rabbi Yirmiyah. By Rabbi Yirmiyah, roif goiva, oy roif hekeifa. So Rashi says, roif goiva means, look at the animal's head and start from the eyes upward to the top of the head. In the case of a male animal, presumably to the base of the horns. So go from the eyes upwards. So you don't look at the entire head, because we're only talking about the gugoilis, that's the upper part of the head. So if that roiv goiva, that unfortunately is crushed, or maybe we're talking about roiv hekeifa. Roiv hekeifa means you do a circumference, a circle around that portion of the head at the top. Rashi says by definition, that is going to be larger. Roiv hekeifa is gadol miroiv goiva. So which is the shear that Shmuel is referring to when he says that it's treif? This is the third case of Shmuel. Boy Ravashi, beroiv karua oy beroiv notu. The words of Shmuel are somewhat succinct. He says, "Basar hachoyve roiv hakeres berubai." So if that basar, which is covering over roiv hakeres, if roiv of it is blank, then it's a treifa. How do you fill in the blank? It's a roiv karua, roiv, it is torn, and therefore you have this huge hole. But roiv notl means roiv of it is missing. Like we have the case of the kovei, which was notl, and there was only a little bit left, or a kezias left. Here we're talking about roiv of the keres is notl.
We don't know what the keres is, do we? The inner and the outer, we had that whole question.
I thank you very much for introducing that. You're now paving the way to the next segment of the Gemara. Gemara is, in fact, going to refer back to exactly what you're talking about. So for those of you that, just a brief refresher, every kosher animal has four stomachs to it. The first one is the keres. From that comes out the Beis HaKoisois, after that is the Hemsis, and then you have the Keva at the end. And in the Keres itself, we had a distinction in our Mishnah between the Keres HaPnimius and the Keres HaChitzoyim. Keres HaPnimius is the one that's underneath the Tzlois in the ribcage. Question is, how do you define the Keres HaChitzoyim? And you remember we had 2 days ago in the Gemara, 6 or 7 different answers. A couple of the answers were, Nemtadam. Nemtadam is Hungarian for meaning I don't know. That even though Rabbi Yochanan said it's the mokum which is meitzar, but I really don't know what that mokum meitzar is. Mena meitzar karasika, Kadosh Baruch Hu, help us out. Where is the keres achitzoyna? You remember we had 5, 6, 7 different. One of them Rashi said that's the istamcha in French, which is presumably in English the stomach. But said Rabbi Yochanan, it's not in the stomach, but I don't know which one, what part of the stomach. Okay, so we had that discussion already a couple of days ago. And we're going to return to that momentarily. So Zokti Yimara, you're asking Baroiv Karua, Baroiv Notl, Tip Shalai Miritna. Let's be poishit from our Mishnah. Oh, remember what it says in the Mishnah. Keres HaPnimis, Shenikva, a little hole, treif. Shnikra roiv hachitzoina. If you talk about the chitzoina, then it's got to be nikra roiv. Roiv of the chitzoina is nikra. Oh, so that is a case lechoira of our keres hachitzoina. Is that the same as basar hachoifa roiv hakeres? The Amri Marav, remember in Eretz Yisrael, they said b'shmei Rabbi Yosef b'chanina, kol hakeres kuloi zui keres hapnimi. The definition of keres apnimius means the entire keres, from top to bottom. The part that's within the tzeloiz, the part that's extending from the tzeloiz. Ve'ezu keres achitaina. What's the definition of keres achitaina? Basar ha'choyfe is roiv ha'keres. The basar which is hovering over roiv ha'keres. That's the keres achitaina. And what does it say in the Mishnah? Shenikra roiv achitaina. So now we can be poishit Rav Ashi's shaila. When Shmuel said basar choyfe roiv ha'keres is berubai, said Rav Ashi, which roiv is a roiv karua, a roiv notl? It's crystal clear from our Mishnah. The Mishnah says nikra roiv achitzoina. And Rabbi Yoyter Rabbi Chanina said, what means roiv achitzoina? It means that basar hachoif is roiv akeres, which is exactly the same words that Shmuel is using. So it's roiv karua. Everything Gemara no. The reason why Rav Ashi asked his shaila, and the reason why we cannot be poishin his shaila, midu taimel l'shmuel, the whole this discussion Rav Ashi is asking is according to Shmuel, that Shmuel listed that as number 3 in his list of 3 treifas. Guess what? Back 2 days ago, Rav Yanka bar Nachmeni, Omar Shmuel, what did he say? Mokim she'ein boi milas. That the definition of roiv achitzoina is not the basar achoif is roiv akeres, but rather whether there's here inside the inner part of the keres. Because part of the keres has hairs. Rashi said it feels like tzemer, feels almost like wool. Presumably that means that there's a lot of hair, it's very hairy. Ah, so that place where it's very hairy, that's the keres hapenimius. Mokshish ain't by milas, if you don't have all of that hair, that's the definition of keres hechitzayna. So that has nothing to do with the basar achoif is reiv keres. That was a different shot in keres hechitzayna. So Shmuel Lishitasai learns that the basar achoif is roiv akeres is not the case of the Mishnah, and that's halacha berubai. Now we have to understand, is it roiv karua or roiv notul? Says the Gemara, I don't know. It's niboya deloy ifshita. Now we go to one of the final cases in the Mishnah, udrusas hazi'ev. Drusa, as we know, means that the ze'ev, the wolf, pounced on top of the animal. And we had further in the Mishnah that you had a netz or other type of vulture that pounced on top of a bird.
A hawk,
oh, very good. A vulture, a hawk, that went and grabbed a bird. Now the problem with the grabbing is that the Gemara assumes that there's a venom in the claws of the wolf and there's venom in the claws of the hawk. And that venom is similar to venom in a snake. And if that lodges into the animal or into the bird, then they will die from that venom. Now, we all know scientifically that this is not really the venom of a snake. A snake produces venom. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave that special power in a snake that it produces this type of terrible poison. However, ze'evim and hawks, and we're going to talk shortly about a cat, they don't have a venom in them. And therefore, the art scroll quotes from Rabbi Carmel, Zuchan Levracha, that Rabbi Carmel says it doesn't really mean the venom that we think of, it really means bacteria which lodges into the claws of one of these animals or one of these birds from having already clawed other animals and having the valus in their claws, and they didn't take a shower after they finished, and they don't use napkins. And therefore, that's the type of venom that we're talking about that can be dangerous for animals or for birds. Okay, and we don't have to focus time on that. The important thing is, the Mishnah says, Drusa says, Eiv is one of the forms of tarfus. It's Omer Yudah Marav, but Behema min is Eiv ulamala, uba'oifis min ha'netz ulamala. When we're talking about ulamala, we mean an animals or birds which are larger. Start off with your small wolf, and then if you have animals which are larger than that, for instance, the ari, the lion, which is larger than the wolf, that is a dangerous drusa. However, if you're talking about an animal which is smaller, and the Gemara is in a moment going to give us an example of a cat is smaller than a wolf, that is not a problem. Even if claws a smaller animal, it does not make it into a treifa. So it is Eva Lamala, from the size of a zev and larger, or minanets from a hawk and larger, those cause treifas, but not smaller. Lemutei mai, so what is Rav Yehuda Merav coming to exclude? Ilema lemutei chatul, is he coming to exclude your regular, normal cat? So tomorrow, Tanino, Drusa says the eighth. The fact that the Mishnah chaps on a wolf and doesn't chap on a cat, doesn't that already tell you it's got to be a minimum of Ze'ev and more? After all, there are many more cats around than you have wolves. So it would have been much more, if a cat can also cause a drusa, wouldn't you think the Mishnah would have said that a cat can cause a drusa? So it's implicit in the Mishnah. I don't need Rav to tell you this. Maybe you're going to explain, no, you're right. A chatul, in fact, can cause a drusa. The reason why the Mishnah refers to Ze'ev, because it wants to tell us another chiddush. What means another chiddush? That a Ze'ev, not only can it cause a treifa in a behema daka, such as in different types of sheep and goats, but even in a large cow, the Ze'ev can go and cause a drusa and make it into a treifa. So maybe that's the reason why we chap on Ze'ev in the Mishnah. So tomorrow, that cannot be, because Vatanan, continue on the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, Drusus as Ev, Bedaka, Udrusus Ari, Begasa. So Rabbi Yehuda already says explicitly, which is the Ze'ev, which is the animal that causes a Drusa by a Daka? Only a Ze'ev. Only a Ze'ev. Not a Chatul. And Ze'ev only causes by a Daka, not by a Gasa. It's Drusus Ari is Begasa. So don't go and tell me Pshat in the Mishnah. Really, a Chatul, a cat can also make a Drusa. The reason why we chap on Ze'ev, because we want to tell you, Ze'ev by a Gasa. But Rabbi Yehuda said, no, Ze'ev by a Gasa does not cause a Drusa. Only an Ari by a Gasa. V'chit Tzemis, you're going to tell me, Rabbi Yehuda Miflik Palik. Rabbi Yehuda argues on the Tanakhama. I, when Rabbi Yamin Bar Yefes, Omer Rabbi Lo, when the side says Rabbi Lozer, Leibor Rabbi Yehuda El Lefarish, Rabbi Chachamim, throughout Shas, you find a number of times where the Tanakhama says a halacha, and the Rabbi Yehuda goes and says something different. Normally you would say it's a machloikis. Rabbi Yamin Jeffers says, no. Rabbi Yehuda is only coming to Mefarish the Tanakhama. The Tanakhama said, Drusa says Ev. And I'm thinking to myself, is it Daka or Gasa? Amar Reb Yehuda or Yehuda Oimer? We're talking about Ze'ev B'Daka. So there's no Machloikis. So if there's no Machloikis, why do we need Rav to go and tell us that only Menazev Ulamala, that causes a Drusa? Of course, the Mishnah already says Drusa says Ze'ev. Avadu we mean from a Ze'ev Ulamala. And don't tell me that really even a Chatul also causes a drusa, but the reason why the Mishnah says Ze'ev is because to tell you that even by a gasa, we see Rabbi Yehuda holds no, only Ari is begasa, not a Ze'ev. So you're going to tell me there's a machlokes, but Rabbi Yehuda says there's no machlokes. Rabbi Yehuda is only coming to the Mefarish, the Tanakam. And for the Gemara, Gavra, Gavra, Karamis, you're asking Akasha from one Gavra on the other, another Rabbi Yehuda, Bar Yefes, Amar Rabbi Lo Ataka said, Rabbi Yehuda is only Mefarish. Could be Rav held that Rabbi Yehuda is arguing, and therefore the Tanakhama holds that, in fact, Ze'ev, not only can it cause a drusa by a daka, it can even cause a drusa by a gasa. And that's what Rabbi Yehuda argues. He said, no, it depends, a daka, gasa, but the Tanakhama holds Ze'ev across the board, even by a gasa, can cause a drusa. But the Maiz, I don't know anything about a chatul. It could be the chatul can also make a drusa. The only reason why we chap on Ze'ev is tell you the chiddush, that even a Ze'ev begasa, and therefore there's a machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakhama, and not like Rabbi Yom Bar Yefes, it says that they're holding the same. Or even by saying, I have another pshatu, lo'olam lemutei chatu, the Mishnah Taki is excluding a chatu. But Ma'ur is saying, I would think, ocher milzik toni, the fact that it says in the Mishnah, drusa by Ze'ev, when's the last time you heard that a cat jumped on a smaller animal and clawed it, and killed it with its venom, with that bacteria? That's, you know, that would make headlines in the New York Post. And they would make a gun to Simmons. Oh, you dangerous cats in New York. The mayor is not doing enough. Yep. Anyway, it's such a rare thing. A wolf. Oh, people know to be, lots of people are very scared of wolves, because wolves are dangerous animals. Oh, so that's why the Mishnah says, Drusa has the Ev, but I might have thought even Drusa Sachatul, it's only Orchid and Milza. Kamashal, that's what Rav has to go and say, Nein, Drusa Sachatul is Gunish. Only min hazaev u lamala. Now we're going to put away Rav, and we're going to come on to Rav Chisda. And from here to the bottom of the Amid, we're going to focus on Rav Chisda. Rav Amram, Rav Chisda. Druzes chatul unemia bigidoyim utloim. Druzes chulda bi oifais. When you're talking about a chatul, which is a cat is dangerous and makes druses by a gedoyim utloim. What is a nemia? Rashi says a nemia is what we would call. Rashi starts off. See, Rashi about 10 lines before the wide lines. Rashi says chayihi. It's some sort of wild beast. And the Rashi says v'yesh omim. And I heard some say it's a marten. Marten in English is marten, which is a small beast. Anyway, so let's assume that that's takara pshata marten, and the druse of either a cat or of a marten bigdoyim utloyim causes a gedi or a tleh. Gedi and tleh means a young goat or a young shepsela, a young lamb, causes them to be a treifa. When you're talking about oifis, you're talking about birds, then a chulda. Chulda is a weasel. A weasel attacks birds, it can cause a drusa.
And you said above was the machlokas, whether the whether a chatul can make treifa, you know, a behemadaka. And behemadaka.
Right. Yeah. So Rav Chisda is the one that's telling us a chatul can go and make a drusa by a gedi and a tle.
One second.
Gedi and tle are very, very young. What happens if you're talking about the same animals 1 year later? Where in the case of the gedi, now it's already, if it's a female, it's already a rochel. Or if you're talking about legabe or seira, or you're talking about a seh grows into an ayo, even Rav Chisda would be maskim to what it says in the Mishnah, that you need a ze'ev. Now, I'm not making this up. You see that Rashi that we just said a moment ago with the Martin? The next Rashi, G'doyim etloyim, dakim shebedaka. These are not just behemedaka. It's dak shebedaka. Oh. Umoyid Rav Chisda, ve'ilm urechelem kimas nisen. For a rochel or for an ayil, a rochel is a female. Maybe it's a female sheep as opposed to goat. In other words, ayil is a into the second year of sheep. Rochel is the female version. If the fancy people call it a ewe, E-W-E, and I believe that that is the female version of an ayil. But the point is that when our Mishnah, when it says drusus hazaev, we're talking about a normal behemah daka, not a real baby behemah daka. And what Rav Chisda is now talking about is the baby. Not a baby was just born, but it means it's very young. So the drusus chatul, thank you, Shai, for giving us the opportunity to go into this in a little bit more detail. So the chatul can go and cause the drusa v'gedoyim etloyim, and the chulda by oifis. Meisei, freitimon Rav Chisda. Drusas, we have a braisa. Brusa, drusas chatul, neitz unamoya. Nochmu, let's say Martin, with the chatul. Ad shetinokev lechalal. The only time they cause trouble is if they make a hole in the animal. Sorry? What happened? The phone stopped? Avadrusa leslehu. We'll wait for a moment because Brother Shai is off, so it looks like his phone lost power or something. Maybe they will rejoin us in a minute. Just wait another half a minute, and then we'll continue. Let's see if they return to the fold, so to speak.
Oh! We lost the last minute, sorry.
No, the good news is you didn't lose anything because it was unanimous. We took a vote. We said we're going to wait a minute until you reinstate yourselves, restore yourselves. So we have a kasha on Rav Chisda. What's the kasha on Rav Chisda? Rav Chisda said that a chatul and a nemoya can cause a drusa. Remember, what does a drusa mean? It inserts venom into the animal and it causes it to become a treifa. But there's a braisa that says just the opposite. The drusa is chatul and nemoya, as well as a net. When do they cause a treifa? If you find a hole in the chalal, meaning in one of the vital organs, Rashi says, like a koitz ba'alma, that cat or the marten reached into the animal and made such a terrible hole that nikvu hadakin, you find out that there's a hole, for instance, in the intestines or in any one of the other vital organs where a machat or a koitz makes a hole, it makes a treif. That makes a treif. Aval drusa, the fact that it just clawed the animal but did not cause such a puncture, leslo is gunished. Why? Because a chatul and a netz and a moya, the Gemara holds, the Braisa holds, cannot cause a treifa through drusa. They can cause a hole and make a treif because of nekuva. It's no better, no worse than a machat. But it will not make it treif because of drusa, because of venom. It's a shver on Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda just said now, yes, you do have drusas chatul and amoya, b'gdoy mutloim. And here it says, a chatul and amoya cannot make a drusa. Zoktimara, before I answer that question, v'tizbra, let me ask you another question. You just said now in this braisa that drusas chatul nets un amoya, drusa leslohu, nets loy doris. But tonight in our mission we said a drusas ha nets, shape of fetish at nets, is, makes a drusa by a young bird, a small bird. And our mission is talking about oifis. And nets, yes, can go and damage oifis, no question about it. A hawk. However, you're talking about behemoths, a hawk doesn't cause a drusa by behemoths, only by birds. Fine, that question is for envid. Because Rav Chisda said that a chatul can make a drusa, but this braisa said a chatul cannot make a drusa. Rav Chisda holds like the following Tana. The Tana is Beribi. The Tana is Beribi Oimer. Who is Beribi? Rashi says Shem Chacham. That was the name of a Chacham by the name of Beribi. But on the side, Masir Zashah says another girsa, Gadol Hador. Beribi was a title that you used to the Gadol Hador. Oh, Beribi. That's the Gadol Hador. The sign of Beribi Yomer, Le Omru Ein Drusa El Bamokim Shein Matzilin. When do they say that there's no din of Drusa, the venom in the claws? That Stavke Mokim, that there's nobody that's trying to save the victim. A Mokim Sheish Matzilin. However, if you have those that are running to go and save the victim from the predator, from the one that's causing the Drusa, then Yesh Drusa. Ooh. In other words, when the Drusa, in this case the Chatul, if nobody's running after the Chatul and it's attacking the Gedoyim Utloyim, then if nobody's running after it, it will not make a Drusa. Why won't it make a Drusa? Because that's what the Braisa said. That's what Beribi said. That if there are no ones looking after this poor little chicken or this poor little oif, or in the case of the chatul and the moya, these gedoyim utloyim, these small little baby sheep, baby goats, and that in that type of situation, then if nobody's looking after them, nobody's trying to be matzil, there will not be a din of drusa. Gunished. I, Rav Chisda, said there is a din of drusa. That's talking about mamokim sheyesh matzilin. Since there are so many that are running after this chatul to prevent it from causing damage to its victims, gedoyim utloyim, the chatul digs itself in other words, in a frenzy now, it gets very angry, and it digs its claws into the Gedoyim Utloyim, and therefore causes a drusa. Oh, so there's no problem. Rav Chisda is talking about a mokim sheyesh matzilin, and that price is talking about a case she'ein matzilin. Oh, so b'mokim sheyesh matzilin, it's not going to do a drusa, because the chatul gets very frenzied and gets very heated up and puts its claws in and could cause a treifa. Mashenkin, if they know, no matzilim, it doesn't get too agitated. The only thing it can make a hole, but it's not going to dig its claws in. Frank Timura, is that true? For Hitana Goyim, don't you remember the famous story of the hen, the Habibir Rav Kahana, that was in the Bismedish, the home of Rav Kahana? Teruat Chatul Basra. A cat was running after this Tana Goyim. And this Tana Goyim was not a simple Tana Goyim, a simple victim. For old Idruna immediately ran into a room, v'schadet dasha bapeh, and immediately slammed the door in the face of that cat. Can you imagine? It slammed the door in the face of the cat. The cat was so angry. Umachir ledasha b'sichufeh, instead of being able to claw the tinoikis, not the tinoikis, the tarnagoilis, sorry, it clawed the door. And after it removed its claws, vishtakach aloh hamisha kurti dama, in the door itself they found five holes full of blood from the claws of that cat. Now, nobody was running after the cat. It didn't say anything about running. It just said the tarnagoilis closed the door in front of the cat. And for the Gemara, hatzolus atzva nami katzolus acherim dami. When we said matzilim, it doesn't have to be a third party that's running after the cat to stop it. The fact that the tarnagoilis is so smart and knows to run away and to slam the door, that's also like hatzolus acherim. And then if you can imagine how the cat got heated up and was so upset, he was sure that he was going to have that tarnagoilis for lunch or for dinner, and the door was slammed in its face. So therefore, in that frenzy, in that anger, it has the status of being able to create a drusa. So that is, so he ends the kasha by saying to Rav Chisda, when he said that a drusa is chatul and a moya b'gdoy mitloim, is talking about the mokim shiyesh matzilin, or that the gdoy mitloim themselves are themselves matzilin. Mashenk and the Brais are talking about ein matzil. V'rabbanan, what about the Rabbanan that seem to disagree? Rabbanan zira islay v'loy koli zira. Meaning, why did the Rabbanan say that the chatul neitzu nemoya chinokiv l'chalal avu drusa leslehu? Drusa leslehu sounds like they never have a din of drusa. Never. Yom matzil and nish matzil. Why? The answer is, yes, they know how to be doiris with their claws. And the claws has a certain degree of bacteria and venom in it. But it's a very, very light form. Or perhaps you just have to go and give maybe an aspirin or a Tylenol to the animal afterwards, and everything is fine. Because it, whatever venom and bacteria it has is not intense and not extensive, is gunish mit gunish. So that's the machlek. It's not about the matzilin. In other words, that braisa holds, yes, drusa, it has drusa, mit matzilin, nish matzilin. But the amount of venom that they have is really immaterial. Now, Ikidiyami, there's another pshat to end for the kasha on Rav Chisda. Remember, Rav Chisda said, drusa chatul and nemoya is a drusa, and the Braisa said it's not a drusa. So now the Gemara has a similar teretz, but different. According to the first teretz, we said, Rav Chisda is talking about dafka, shiyesh matzilin. Since the yesh matzilin, it gets in a frenzy, gets angry, and then yesh ladrusa, then it does leave a venom behind, the bacteria behind. But ikram is another view. Hamani beribihi. The woman's hamani beribihi, that this brisa that we had that said that the drusas chatul, neitz namoya, do not create drusa, that brisa is talking about like beribi. Because Rav Chisda does not hold like beribi. And he holds that even if ein matzilin yesh drusa, even ein matzilin yesh drusa, why did that brisa say that there's no drusa? Because that brisa goes according to beribi. The sign it beribi oimeli omri yesh drusa l'mokim sheish matzilin and mokshem matzilin ein drusa. So therefore it's a new teretz. According to the first teretz of the Gemara of Chisda holds, when is there a din of drusa kishyesh matzilin? Because the chatul gets so angry, etc. According to the second teretz, no. Rav Chisda can hold even by ein matzilin, there's a din of drusa. Aye, what about that brisa that says that there's no din of drusa by a chatul and nemoya? That brisa holds like the ribi, and that brisa is talking about a situation where there are no matzilin. If there are no matzilin, you don't have to worry about the chatul or nemoya, because they're not going to get so upset in such a frenzy to go and make a drusa with their paws. Frank tomorrow, oh, you're telling me it depends. Yom matzilin, ish matzilin. I don't you remember the famous story where he turned a good with David Bey Rav Kahana to Rod Chatul Basra. The cat was running. The Oli Druna and the hen immediately ran into the room. Vizchadit Dasha Bapay and slammed the door in its face. Umachil Dash Mesichufe. And this Chatul went and clawed the door. Vishtaka Chale Chamisha Kurti Dama. So the two terutzim are similar, but different. How are they different? What does Rav Chisda hold? According to the first brice, Rav Chisda holds like beribi, and Rav Chisda only holds the din of drusas chatul and amoya in a situation yesh la matzilin. According to the second teretz, no, he holds even be'ein matzilin. There's a din of drusa. Aye, that brisa says that there is no din of drusa at all by chatul and amoya, because that brisa holds like beribi. When is there a din of drusa? Only when there are matzilin. But if there's no matzilin, no drusa. We'll stop over here, boys. I mentioned to be continued tomorrow. Have a wonderful day. Hatzlachalach.
I have a quick question.